Thank you very much. I'm Bummer Joins, and the subject for today may sound rather perplexing at first. However, it is a subject fraught with many tragic results if not correctly understood. Here is where much of our confusion in the religious world is found. The Church of Christ wants you to believe in the sincerity of our message to such an extent that you will love us and appreciate us for our interest in you personally. We believe what we preach to be the actual truth that men must obey if they are to be saved, or we would preach something else. And we do not subscribe to the theory that all truth is relative. We believe the truth of God's revelation to man is fixed and positive and can neither be changed nor altered. After we have delivered these sermons to you, we will not say to those who deny these great truths, "Oh, well, it makes a little difference, for after all, we all get our different doctrines from the same book. We are all right, and we do not hold to this convictionless theory that we get all these conflicting doctrines from the book, the Bible. And we know truth does not divide. How can all these contrary theories be right and there be a faith placed in the dependability of the Bible? Do you believe men have to obey what you preach to be saved? If not, may I ask why you preach it? Why add more confusion to an already confused world? To us, this is serious. We pray for unity, just as Christ prayed for it. We pray for the conviction of people so that they can change in the way that God wants them to change. And in such a grave and serious business as directing the souls of men who are lost and in need of the saving grace of God, yes, we believe what we preach is God's truth revealed to man. And as we preach it and teach it, there's not a single contradiction in it. Whether we're talking about the prophecies of the Old Testament or the fulfillment of those prophecies and the law given by Jesus Christ. Now in 2 Samuel 7:12-13, that's where we will begin our lesson today, and prophecy is found. Here Nathan is speaking to David, revealing to him God's promise. It reads as follows: "And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, or from his loins, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." Our question is, did God make good this promise to David? Has he given to David's seed this kingdom before David's resurrection? It is being taught that God's promise here failed. It didn't fail either, and you'll see that as we continue to study. And that the kingdom has been postponed until after the resurrection of David at the second coming of Christ. My friends, Christ, the seed of David, has either inherited this kingdom or he has not. And this promise to David either came true when Christ came to this earth as promised, or it did not. This is not a relative truth, and it does not permit of a liberal interpretation, the interpretation of which would allow its failure at Christ's first advent, but would provide for its fulfillment some thousands of years in the future at his second advent. This is an absolute truth, positive truth. It either came to pass as God promised it would, or the Lord caused the prophets to prophesy presumptuously, that is, falsely, as stated in Deuteronomy 18:22. God said in Isaiah 9, "The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it." It is therefore a positive, emphatic, unchangeable truth. We believe and shall prove by your Bible that God did not fail David while David slept with his fathers. Next, let us look at Isaiah, the 2nd chapter, verses 2-3. And God speaks through his prophet Isaiah, And it shall come to pass in the last days. It's important that we remember this, because this is connected to things that happened in the New Testament. That the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we shall walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. In Micah 4, verses 1 and 2, we find the very same prophecy as given by Isaiah, almost word for word. Now the question that we are trying to establish is this. Did God, by Isaiah and Micah, speak the truth? Or did they prophesy falsely? Was this kingdom set up? Or did this promise fail? What other kingdom was ever promised to the seed of David other than the one in 2 Samuel 7 and Isaiah 2 and Micah 4? Remember, my good people, that God's promises by these men did not fail. Christ was, as recorded in Acts 2:25-33, on David's throne that day while David was still sleeping with his fathers. In Isaiah 9:7-8, we read of this time from Isaiah, and I beg of you to listen closely, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That is Christ. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. Now listen. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform it. Again, the question is, did the zeal of the Lord of hosts perform this? Or did it fail? Upon the honor of these prophets, as they speak for God, rests the destiny of our souls. Was this the same throne as promised to David in 2 Samuel 7? Is this the kingdom promised in Isaiah 2 and Micah 4? If not, then when and where did God change his plan? What prophet tells of God's decision to postpone the setting up of this kingdom promised to David until the second coming of Christ? We of the Church of Christ believe these promises were fulfilled, that all came to pass just as God promised they would, and we do not subscribe to the theory that there was a power greater than God preventing his bringing to pass his plans for the salvation of the world through the establishment of his kingdom, in the which men are brought by the new birth. We look at Daniel 2 and verse 44. And in this second chapter in verse 44, and in the days of these kings, the Roman kings, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. May I press again the question for our study. Did God fulfill this promise to Daniel? Or did he fail him also? The kingdom was to be set up during this fourth beast in Daniel's prophecy. In his interpretation of the king's dream, and that beast was Rome. The old Roman Empire has long since fallen, as we are well aware of. And did God set up this kingdom during its existence, as promised, or was he defeated again? Friends, why not believe God when Nathan said to David, Isaiah, and Mark, Micah, and Daniel, God promised to send Christ, David's seed, to set up or establish this kingdom. We believe he established this kingdom according to his promise. We do not believe God's plan failed. Do you? Really, Do you believe that God failed in what he tried to do? There's another passage from Psalms 89, verses 35 through 37, in which the sweet singer of Israel said, as recorded in this passage, "Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It, that is, his throne, shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven." Did God fulfill this promise to David? If David's throne is established in heaven, as your Bible in Psalms 89:37 declares, then it will not be on earth in Jerusalem, as is thought by the future reign of Christ on earth advocates. Your Bible says it is in heaven. I believe the Bible. Do you? And if not, why not? Now let's turn again to the book of Psalms for more information. Again, your Bible reads in Psalm 110 and verses 1 through 4, "The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of the power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." My friends, this is forever an identifying mark of this one of whom your Bible is speaking. It is Christ. "For he alone is a priest after the order of Melchizedek." You can check this out in Hebrews 6 and verse 20. Let us notice an unanswerable fact just here. He who was to be a priest after the order of Melchizedek was also to be a priest during the day of his power, during the days he was to rule in the midst of his enemies. And since your Bible declared Christ to be that priest during the days of the apostles during the first century in Hebrews chapter 7, 8, 9, and 10, it follows, therefore, without question, that he was also ruling as king during the same time. This brings true, then, Zechariah was right when in chapter 6 and verse 13 he declared Christ would be a priest upon his throne. He is a priest now. Therefore, he is on his or in David's throne at the present time. Our question again is, did God cause David to prophesy falsely? Or did God actually fulfill his promise to David? Was Christ actually priest while on David's throne? We do not believe that Psalms 110 is to be chalked up as another of God's failures. It came to pass. If not, why not? Remember, the seed of David was never promised but to one throne, but to one kingdom, and that was the throne of and the kingdom of his father David, that during the time of Christ was God's high priest on earth. And if God was not fulfilled these promises in Christ, then of what promises is Christ the fulfillment? Shall we tell the people these prophecies fail? We believe that Christ is the answer to these prophecies. What do you believe? We preach a Christ-centered religion, that Christ is the actual fulfillment of the Old Testament promises. What do you teach? Actual fulfillment. There are many people who question whether they were fulfilled at all or not, and if so, can you prove that from the Scriptures? But having now given these prophecies, in which it has been explicitly and emphatically stated by your Bible that all things shall come to pass, that the zeal of the Lord will perform them. And let me now read to you the actual fulfillment of the passage to which all men go with reference to the future establishment of the throne of David with Christ. David's seed ruling. It is in 2 Samuel 7, 12, and 13, where God, by Nathan, promised to David, "And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels," his loins, "and I will establish his kingdom," that is, the throne of his kingdom, "forever." Turn with me now to Acts, the second chapter. It is the first Pentecost after Christ's resurrection. It was only 10 days from the time that they had set up and established for this on that Pentecost, but it was only 50 days, which Pentecost means 50th or 50th day, and it had been 50 days from the crucifixion. These apostles spoke to the Holy Spirit, gave them utterances, Acts 2 and verse 4, and they spake therefore the truth, beginning with verse 29 through verse 35. Your Bible reads, and mind you, now this is your Bible, it has to be right. "Men and brethren, let me freely speak, sworn to the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell," or Hades in the Greek, "neither did his flesh see corruption. The same Jesus hath God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he hath shed forth this, which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." My friends, what could be plainer as to Christ being the actual fulfillment of 2 Samuel than this passage? Peter actually quotes this prophecy as being then, at the time, fulfilled in Christ, who was actually raised to sit on David's throne. And verse 30 makes this statement. Yes, actually, raised to sit on David's throne. He does not have to return to earth to sit on it. Questions should be asked, and they will be answered scripturally. Since he was actually raised to sit on David's throne, was the purpose of his resurrection accomplished, or was this another of God's failures? This one prophecy quoted by Peter, as he spake by the Spirit, is all one needs to forever establish the fact of the actual fulfillment of God's promise to David. Way back in the centuries past, as he spoke to David by the mouth of Nathan the prophet, again I ask, did God's promise to David fail? In Acts 2, David had not ascended. He was still sleeping with his fathers, just as the prophet declared he would be. If this prophecy was not fulfilled in Christ, then for what purpose did Christ come to the earth the first time? Again, the churches of Christ believe the Bible. We believe in the promises of God. We believe in and teach a Christ-centered religion of which Christ is the actual fulfillment of the promises made to his father David. And hard-pressed is the theory that is fostered to resurrect the old Roman Empire by making the present-day common market, or which France and Germany and Italy are parts, into which England is striving to enter and has now, in order that God may yet make good his promise to David. Why the resurrection of this Roman Empire? Daniel prophesied long before Rome was a world power. And that during the existence of the fourth beast and in the king's dream, which was pagan, and of course Rome was that pagan government, that this kingdom promised to Christ would be set up. Since Rome fell, if that religion was not set up before her fall, then to set up this kingdom promised by David, Rome must live again with all her ancient cruelty. Is this what you are praying for? God's promise to David did not fail. The kingdom was set up before the fall of the Romans and the Roman Empire, and Christ was raised to sit on that throne, which was David's throne. It was set up by the people who were involved, being led and directed by the Holy Spirit, but it was set up as promised while David was still sleeping with his fathers. Christ was on the throne in Acts 2 and has been on that throne now nearly 2,000 years. And you listen to the lesson that we plan next, that is Christ, God's answer to the prophets. Yes, God's promise to David came true. It did not fail. Christ is on David's throne now. His throne is in heaven, as taught in Psalms chapter 89, verses 35 through 37, and Acts 2 and verse 30. It is a spiritual kingdom, not an earthly one. It rules in the hearts of men, not by armies, not by conquering sword, but by the gospel of Christ, the sword of the Spirit. Can this be wrong? May the Lord bless you to see, understand, and accept this Christ now as your King by putting him on in baptism as a penitent believer, as taught in Galatians 3, 26 and 27. Acquiring Christ as God's answer to the prophets. This is my prayer in his holy name. Thank you for listening today.